Hi, I'm Richard, the founder of 10 Adventures, and this is the 10 Adventures podcast. Each week, we talk to real people about real adventures as they explore this incredible planet we all live on.
Today on the 10 Adventures podcast, Karen and I are talking with Cam and Chris, who in 2019 completed an incredible 2,000-kilometer bike tour from Hanoi to Saigon. They started the trip without any real bikepacking experience, just a shared love of adventure, and wanted to use their bike to explore places they wouldn't normally go. Hi, Cam and Chris. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having
us. Yeah, thanks for having us.
I'm super excited to talk to you guys. You know, having seen the video, it's really compelling, really just makes you want to get out and explore. But I'm really interested, how did this trip come together, considering you guys, you know, said you don't have a huge amount of bikepacking experience?
Chris basically had done like a bikepacking trip, I think in somewhere in the summer.
Oh, I don't remember when, but 2017 maybe?
Yeah, and we had met in 2013, but never really like were great friends or anything. We were working at the same camp in Alberta together. And I saw that he had done this bike tour and, you know, it was in my mind. And then I saw this video on YouTube and I was like, oh, Chris would appreciate this. So I actually sent him that video. And, you know, we got talking and all that, and we're like, let's ride together someday. And that's how it became this. Actually, Vietnam was supposed to be us riding in Norway in the winter. We were trying to get the trip sponsored and, you know, like we wanted to do something crazy. And, you know, riding in the winter in Norway would have been that. You know, the gear was too expensive and we couldn't get the sponsorship for it. So then we're like, let's just do Vietnam.
So what was it that drew you to Vietnam?
The main thing for me was just a different, it's like appeals to a different world, you know, like a completely different culture, out of the comfort zone. We don't know the language. I was on the other side of the world. We had a friend there who said many great things about Vietnam. And I saw, I don't know if you've seen the show Top Gear.
Yeah.
With Jeremy Clarkson. It's very popular in England. They did like a motorbike tour through the Ho Chi Minh Trail. And it looked amazing. This trail that ran from the north to the south. So we started to do more research into it. And we thought that's the perfect place to travel on a bicycle.
It's also like pretty much like bike country there, you know, like everywhere, you know, like you see bicycles everywhere. Now there's a lot of mopeds, but it really used to be a bicycle place. And, you know, like us not knowing anything about bikes, it's perfect because there's so much bike shops and stuff.
So I'm interested in your route, you know, going from Hanoi to Saigon. It takes you through a lot of different parts of Vietnam. Can you maybe describe in more detail kind of where you went over those 2,000 kilometers?
Yeah, so we started in Hanoi. And then from Hanoi, we decided to hit first the Phu Luang mountain range, which is a bit west of Hanoi. And basically, we were basically making the route like day to day.
Yeah, we made it up as we went.
Yeah, we really didn't know. Like at the beginning, we were like, oh, maybe we should go to Halong Bay, which is on the other side, you know. But then after doing a bit of research and stuff, like Chris would basically read blogs the night before and just see like, oh, which way is cooler and which way is not.
Like Phu Luang sounded really cool. It was like, wow, this is like some mountainous terrain. Not many people visit there. But we didn't really take into account the altitude and the amount of climbing to get there, you know. I remember when we were heading there and we met a guy and we told him we were going this way, pointing, and he was laughing like, oh,
he's like, no.
And then he was right, we shouldn't have gone that way. It was awful. It was awful. Yeah, it was climbing for days and days and days. Like, we just pushed our bikes, eh?
Yeah, and that day, so that day when we tackled that hill, we did 13 kilometers and maybe rode the bikes I don't know,
200 meters,
yeah, something like that. It was crazy. It was just like constant uphill and it was way too steep. Also, we packed way too much, so we were really way down.
So did you guys do a lot of planning before the trip? Or was most of it as you were going along?
Yeah, day by day, really.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't really plan anything. We're like, let's just meet in Hanoi and then like basically buy whatever we want, whatever we need, like including the bikes, and then go from there.
We knew we wanted to end up in Saigon. You know, we knew we wanted to end up in the south. And then we just thought we'd plan the route as we went along, you know.
Yeah.
For example, when we were in the mountains, it was tough. And we were like, let's head to the coast, you know, for a bit. And then we looked it up and we headed straight to Highway 1 to go to the coast. And then we realized that was a bad idea because there's a lot of traffic. So then we went back inland again.
Right.
After getting to Da Nang and Hoi An, we decided to go into the mountains again in the south. And that was like really hot climate. So like there's actually a lot of difference between the north and the south. You know, like the north was like also mountains and all that, but it was like, it was a lot cooler and misty and rainy. The south, when we were there, it was like heat waves, very dry, very like jungle, humid. And then from there, we continued along to Ho Chi Minh City, inland.
When you landed in Hanoi, you had like a vague plan that you wanted to ride your bikes and end up in Saigon. But as far as the day-to-day planning, you were kind of planning that as the day went. And then what were you using for resources then to decide every day which way you were going to head?
We would use different blogs. I don't know if you've been on crazyguyonabike.com.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, and they tell you the routes. So, blogs, maps, .me,
yeah.
Google Maps, speaking to some people as well that we met along the way.
Yeah, I would say a lot of it actually came also from people along the way. Yeah. Just like speak, because, you know, like motorbiking in Vietnam is very popular. Yeah. Like most people who go to Vietnam do, you know, like let's say they buy a motorbike somewhere either in the south or the north.
Yes.
And then they sell them again on their destination. And so, you know, it's the same thing what we're doing, but we're just doing it with bicycles. Obviously, for them, it doesn't matter if it's hilly or not. But they were definitely like good resources for information because they've, you know, been coming from the places that we were going to.
Yeah, the first day when we arrived in our hostel in Hanoi, we met a couple and they had traveled all the way from Saigon on a motorbike for like a month. And they just finished that route and we were doing the route obviously the other way. So it was interesting to speak to them about their adventure. But we met a lot of people on the road on motorbikes, though. We only met a couple of people bikepacking. Most of the people had mopeds or motorbikes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way to get information because then people have just been on the roads and they know what the condition is. Now, I was intrigued about the fact that you were buying your bikes in Hanoi when you landed. Tell us a bit about that.
We didn't have any bikes that we were like wanted to travel with anyway from, you know, like I was coming from Canada and he was traveling before. So we didn't really have bikes and we're like, let's just meet up there and buy, you know, the cheapest bicycles that we can find and just like ride. We just knew we just needed a bicycle. We didn't know that we needed like a good bicycle. You know, doing a trip like that with the bicycles that we had. So we had medium frame giant mountain bikes, which were, I think, around $195 each, US dollars.
Wow. Yeah.
And, you know, like we had a lot of troubles along the way, but finally we were able to do it. Having done it with these bikes tells you that, you know, it doesn't really matter if you have good bikes or not. Obviously, having really good bikes is going to be more fun for you. But it's doable regardless. And I think that's what like we got out of, you know, buying those bikes there.
So how did those $195 bikes hold up for that journey?
It was a bad year. We had many mechanical issues. I think my spoke, I had like 7 or 8 broken spokes just because the bikes were so small. And I'm like 6'2". So I think my weight and the weight of the panniers just buckled the back wheel multiple times.
All our weight was on the back, so we didn't have anything on the front.
Yeah, it was on the back.
And we're, you know, we're sitting and like our weight is weighing down the bike. My tire also, I think, had a kink in it. So I ended up getting 6 flats as well from that trip. And, you know, like we broke racks. I like broke a phone. I broke my camera. Like it was a whole thing.
Wow. Now you mentioned that you felt like you had too much gear. So what else were you carrying that maybe you didn't need or you didn't use?
Pretty much, I would say 75% of the things that we were carrying.
I think clothes is a big one, you know, like having too many clothes. Like this trip, for example, we're going to have like at one t-shirt, you know, one pair of shorts, one pair of trousers, one pair of boxers. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, I had like 6 t-shirts. I don't know. I remember in one hostel, I left half my clothes. Remember?
Yeah.
I just took out my clothes and left them because I was just fed up. I was just fed up of the extra weight. It was just like, I don't need this anymore. Get rid of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely the, also the camping gear. You know, like we were thinking of like, we're going to camp, but we ended up using only the camping gear once. We used the tent, never even used the sleeping bags because it was so hot. Like you can't really, you're just sweating on your mats. So we could have definitely gone without that. And then all the camera gear, right? to me, that's an essential. To him, definitely not. But, you know, now looking back at the footage, he's like, okay, now this may be essential.
Yeah, the footage is great. Yeah, but I mean, this guy has like 4 or 5 cameras.
On that trip, I had one camera, one GoPro, and then a drone. On this trip, I have 2 cameras. And then I have a film camera, actually, medium format, and then a GoPro and a drone. So we're upping the production a bit.
So you mentioned that you started in the north and that it was quite hilly. How did that go? Because you were just starting your bike tour then.
Yeah, I mean, we just push our bikes. We complained a lot, especially him.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah. But, you know, this is also why we decided, like, okay, we're done with, like, the mountains at the beginning. We're like, okay, we're out of these mountains. Let's just head to the coast. We want flatter terrain. I think that worked out pretty well until we hit Highway 1, which was the main artery of Vietnam. Like, it was traffic constantly and really loud, so,
yeah. And a lot of lorries. And, you know, they're not as, yeah, they came past fast. Like, in some countries where you do, when you cycle, you know, in Europe, people are very respectful and, you know, they slow down or pull away from the bikes. But in some countries, they don't give a shit. They just,
Yeah. I think the worst was the buses, definitely, because, you know, they're on a schedule. So they don't really slow down, you know, like they take some pretty sketchy turns. And, you know, even if you're on the side, they don't really move that much. So there were definitely times where we felt really unsafe, but, you know, we just had to continue.
And the beeping horns, that was, a lot of doo-doo. And I don't know if it was hellos or it was move the hell out of the way. I don't know if it was friendly. I think it was friendly.
Yeah.
But it was annoying after a while because it's so loud when you're...
Yeah, and it's just so constant. Like, everybody
just
honks.
And it's constant, yeah. They don't stop. But the people are very friendly.
Yeah.
Like, we would always get people smiling and waving, pack tours.
We got invited also in a lot of, like, times just, you know, like, as we're cycling. People sitting, like, out in their yards or, like, in their shops, always, like, waving us in for a drink, have some tea. It was just like a very friendly place to be.
Very friendly people, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes those are the best moments, aren't they? When it's just kind of so spontaneous.
Oh, I was just going to talk about the bit in the film where, you know, we got invited to, you know, have the drinks with the people celebrating. I think it was some sort of holiday in Vietnam. And yeah, that was like a great
moment.
Yeah. We ended up staying like 2 hours there, you know, drinking beer and just like, we, both of us, I think, got quite drunk by the end of it. And yeah, we had to cycle another 30 kilometers. So we took a little break and then just continued.
Free beer and free food. You can't say no to that.
Yeah, just being like mouth fed, like hand fed. Yeah. It was...
And we didn't even have to move. Like, they would feed us. They would feed us.
Pour our beer while it's in my hand. Beer.
Like, I could have just, I could have just sat there. Yeah, great.
Yeah, that sounds so fun. That sounds like a highlight for you guys. Yeah, where were you guys staying along the way? Because you mentioned that you only used your camping gear once.
So yeah, in the north, it's mostly homestays. You know, like it's families that open their home and give you a place to sleep. And, you know, usually breakfast and dinner that you pay extra for if you'd like. And then, you know, when we got to Highway 1 and along the coast, it was mostly hotels. And then when we got back into the mountains, it was also either hotels and homestays, both and both. Yeah. And then the camping once was in the mountains in the south.
So how do you arrange the homestays? Was that just a spontaneous thing or did you use couch surfing or?
No, literally we just Google a place to sleep, you know, when we stop to eat lunch and, you know, whatever comes up, we just kind of like, okay, this is our destination for the day.
Like on Google Maps, it said it, didn't it? Like on Google Maps, when you were in a town, you could see little like houses and it meant it was a homestay. So we would just go to that homestay and knock on the door and then just ask, can we like sleep here? Mm-hmm. And then they were, yeah.
Yeah, because also we weren't like there during high season or anything. So like there were always availabilities. There was nowhere that we got like turned away from.
So I'm really interested. You guys took a real approach of just like discovery on this trip. Every day was kind of like going into the unknown. But what was a typical day? Were you pounding out the miles or were you taking side trips or exploring or like, you know, what was it every day for you guys?
Some days, yeah, we would put in. I was pretty focused on getting in the kilometers, whereas Karam obviously stopped a lot to take pictures, to take videos. And, you know, it's annoying sometimes when it's, you know, 40 degrees and you're sweating and getting sunburned and he wants to keep going back and forth. And for me, it was all new, like all this all this filming and photography. So it was very annoying at parts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think you handled that pretty well. I was definitely annoying, and I do admit that. Yeah, I think it's just part of it. But I do get it. Like, I also don't want to, like, cycle up a hill twice just to get the shot. But I feel like, you know, those are the moments that you really should, because those are moments that you should show, you know?
Yeah, you got to film the bad and the good.
So looking back at this video, you know, how does it feel? You know, it was, you know, 2 years ago. When you look back at this video, which is incredible, does it bring back memories? Does it, you know... Do you just kind of amazed that you did it, or like what does it feel like? Because you just released it now, but it's from a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's really nice, like, looking back through all the footage, because I'm like as I look back through everything, I'm just like reliving the whole thing, you know, like things come back to me that I've just completely forgotten about. I think it comes now even at like even a better timing, because, you know, Chris and I finally found the time to do another bike tour together. Because now we're in Valencia, Spain, and we're doing a route here. And the film came out, I think, 3 weeks ago. And, you know, I'm working on also producing a series for our trip to Vietnam. So I'm constantly still editing and looking through the footage. So it's quite nice, kind of like remember, okay, this is why I did this with Chris before, and this is why I'm doing it again. You know, there's a lot of, I think, we had a really good dynamic, and looking back at the footage really reassures that.
When I watched your video, you really did seem to have an amazing dynamic, and you seem to really have a lot of fun with each other. So how was it reconnecting after some years apart to do this epic bike ride?
Good. Yeah, it's good to see Karam again. He looks the same. And yeah, it's nice to catch you up. Obviously, with the pandemic and everything going on in the world, we weren't sure if this trip was going to happen, because obviously it's difficult to travel at the moment. But yeah, it's good to see you again, man. I missed you.
Good to see you as well.
I missed your camera.
Well, like when we did the Vietnam tour, we weren't really good friends at all before that. I think, like, you know, we worked. Well, I don't know. I don't consider you a good friend.
I thought we were.
But, like, you know, we knew each other for like a summer, and, you know, we worked together, but like not closely together. We didn't see each other every day during that summer, you know? It was just someone that I knew. You know, I think like we just like both like really took a chance on each other to just like, okay, we both share this like love for adventure and slow travel.
It's hard to find people that want to do this kind of thing, you know? Most people don't get it, or they don't want to cycle across, you know, a country.
And also the timing, right? You know, like we both wanted to take our time and not have a exact deadline. And I think that's also especially hard to find in someone else.
And it seems daunting. You know, if you mention it to people, they're like, wow, that's crazy. How do you do that? And it's not that difficult. Like anyone can do it. And I think that's the beauty of bikepacking. You can cycle 10 kilometers a day. You can cycle 100 kilometers a day. It's up to you.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's very accessible.
So you've mentioned a couple of times you're doing a trip right now in Spain. What length and what trip are you doing now?
Yeah, so we're doing a route that we found on bikepacking.com. It's called Montañas Vacías, right? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Spanish Lapland.
Mm-hmm. So this is a region in Spain that's, I think, very unpopulated. I think it's less than, the population density is less than one person per square kilometer. And that's why it's called Spanish Lapland. It looks like quite an epic route. It's mostly gravel and off-road. So it's going to be a bit different from our tour before. So the one that we did before was definitely bike touring, and now, you know, we're advancing to bike packing, I think.
I'm hoping that you've got better bikes this time.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
This guy got really good bikes. He got his really good bikes.
Yeah, so we're actually working with a company from Berlin, because I'm now based in Berlin, and they offered to give us bikes for the tour. They're called 8-bar bikes, and yeah, they're really nice bikes. It just makes all the difference. It's like, you know, now that we've ridden these bikes and tested them out here fully loaded, we're like, okay, this is like, you can't really go back. I mean, you could, but it's just like, it's so much better. It's like so much more fun and more enjoyable.
And are you camping with this one since you're on gravel?
Yeah, there's also like mountain huts that you can stay in on this roof. There's like mountain huts, different positions. We've got a tent as well. So if we don't make it to the mountain huts, we can just camp.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. They're like these like shelters, stone shelters that you can just like roll up to and just like put your sleeping mat and sleeping bag and just, yeah, call it a night.
That sounds fun. So what lessons did you learn when you were cycling in Vietnam that you're going to be taking into this trip? I guess one would be a better bicycle.
Definitely. Definitely learned that one, yeah.
Traveling lighter as well. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing, I think, you know, especially when you have to carry all your luggage, you know. You want to travel as light as possible, especially if you're going uphill. I mean, it's hard to cycle uphill with a heavy bike.
Yeah.
So I think they're the two main things. Mm-hmm. Better bike, lighter gear, less gear.
Less gear. And I would say one for me would be to film a little less or know when to film.
That's one for me as well, actually.
That sounds like a good one. You know, if you were talking to someone who was going to be going to do a bike tour in Vietnam, what would you tell them are some of the highlights they shouldn't miss?
Honestly, I would definitely say take up people on their offers to like go and sit and have a drink with them. You know, because if you're going to be bikepacking there, you're definitely going to be invited quite a bit. Yeah, like even if you have a destination to get to that night, it doesn't matter. Just take a break and go and have that drink, because those are the moments that you're going to remember from that trip.
Yeah, don't think about tomorrow. Stay in the present.
I think those are great because, again, so often we're focused on the destination and we, you know, we don't open ourselves for all these kind of random encounters, which are going to give us such a different feeling and memory of the trip. I'm interested, as you're finishing up this trip, how did it feel? You just, you know, done this big journey, dealt with a lot of trials and tribulations. You know, your last day, what's the feeling as you guys are about to finish?
Joy, pure joy. Just because for me, it was really hot and it was difficult. I was definitely tested physically and mentally a lot during times in this trip. The heat, the altitude, the climbing, the lack of calories and food poisoning we got a couple of times as well, didn't we?
We had a day where I had the food poisoning and I had like basically diarrhea as we were riding. And then the next day he had it and he was laughing at me the first day.
I was laughing
the first day. So yeah. I laughed at him the second day.
I was like, yes, I don't have it.
Oh, it sounds tough.
And that was, I think, like 3 days or so before arriving to Ho Chi Minh City. So it was definitely a feeling of relief that we, you know, we had just done this thing that was so daunting and so, you know, like it's a long journey, you know, going across a country that's so long and so mountainous. But yeah, it was bittersweet, I would say, just because, you know, when you're cycling, like your days are so simple, you know, like, okay, you wake up, you have breakfast, you have your coffee, and then you're like, okay, where are we going today? You know, and then you cycle, you get to your destination and then you repeat, you know, but then when you're not, then what do you do with your life?
Yeah, it's a very simple life. And you're in a different mindset, you know, you're in like a survival mindset, like, okay, we're going from here to here. We need to eat. We need to try not to crash the bikes. Yeah, and it's a very different mindset to normal life.
You're just in the moment. And yeah, you're not really thinking much about, you know, the outside, like, worries.
Yeah. And you appreciate the small things, you know, like a cold drink of water or a nice comfy bed, you know, or a cold shower. Those simple things are amazing.
I love the story of simplicity and just how, you know, you get into this different place when you're not worried about everything else and you can really enjoy these simple pleasures. I'm super inspired hearing you guys talk about this. I think it's incredible that, you know, you just rocked up and basically bought some bikes, bought some gear and went out and like didn't even have like a day-to-day plan. You just kind of knew where you wanted to go. Thanks so much for sharing this, Cam and Chris. It was really, really great. And I learned a ton and, you know, I want to go bike pack it in Vietnam with $195 bikes now.
You sure should, Richard.
So if you want to check out the video that we've referenced, I'll put a link in the show notes. You can also follow Cam on his Instagram, Cram in the World. Be warned, these are super incredible and inspiring photos. They're going to make you want to go and explore the world. And I'll also give a link to Cam's YouTube channel, Cram and Elena, which has some really interesting videos and some really cool ones about Algonquin Park, which I think are, you know, totally different from bike touring in Vietnam, but still really cool. So thanks a lot, guys. Have a great bike trip.
Yeah, have a great time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks. It was a lovely conversation.
Yeah, nice to meet you both.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the 10 Adventures podcast. If you liked it, why not give us a review? Better yet, subscribe and get inspired again and again. Also, if you want to find your own adventures, why not check out 10adventures.com, where you can use our free resources to plan your own trip or book a tour in over 60 countries and make your own epic memories on your next adventure.